Our first talk this morning is Sonia Riesberg, and she's talking on building capacity and building a language archive in West Papua.
Yeah, morning. Do I need that? Yeah. So I'm going to report on work I and my colleagues have been doing through the last couple of years in West Papua, and that included, as the title gives away, quite some capacity building and the building of a corpus. And I want to start with just reminding us very quickly of the challenge. We all know that, the challenge posed by the fact that languages are disappearing very quickly and in great numbers, and the fact that basically it's pretty clear that the few Western professional linguists will be probably not able to meet this challenge of documenting all these languages. So we really have to think seriously and try and provide resources and skills for language documentation to a wider range of actors. And we are currently trying this at CELD, that is the Center for Endangered Languages Documentation, in Manokwari, in West Papua. CELD was founded by Yusuf Sawaki and Nicolaus Himmelmann in 2009 in order to provide sustainable structures for language documentation and linguistic research in that area. So, from the very beginning, CLD was meant to be a center for language documentation, sure, but also for multi-level capacity building. And it was funded through the Volkswagen Foundation through two documentation projects between 2009 and 2016. The first one was the WOI project on an Austronesian language spoken on the Isle of Yapen, and the second one was called Documentation Summits in the Central Mountains of Papua, and that was the project I was involved in, and that's the project I will be talking about in this presentation. So the Summits project basically consisted of three components. The first one was the documentation of one particular language, Yali, and the aim was to provide what basically a language documentation project should provide for, that is good quality recordings of different genres and a fair amount of transcriptions and annotations and analyses. The second component included the digitization and the archiving of quite a large collection of legacy data. So I have to find on basically three languages, that was Apo, Kosarek, and then, as it turned out during the project, also Yali, where we got quite a large amount of data to digitize. And then the third component included capacity building, where that basically consisted of providing workshops for local students. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more detail later. So just to give you a geographic overview, this is West Papua. It's the western part of the Isle of New Guinea, and it subsumes the two easternmost provinces of Indonesia to which it politically belongs. CELD is affiliated with the University of Papua in Manokwari, which is at the northeast back of the Bird's Head area up there. And the core team of the Summits project basically consisted of Christian Waliangan and me, who were working on the documentation of Yali. This is spoken up there in the mountains. It's a trans-New Guinea language. And then there was Nicolaus Himmelmann, who's basically worked as an international advisor at CELD. He was very strongly involved in supervising workflow, the data processing and the analysis, and Volker Heschen, who donated all his data on two other Trans-New Guinea languages, a little bit spoken further to the east of Yali, that is Kosarek and Apo. So now in the following, I'm going to talk a little bit about the capacity measures we offered at CLD, and then in the second part, turn to the archive that basically is one outcome of that. So we offered a number of workshops. Among them, there was one for community members where we invited speakers of four speech communities. That was Apo, Yali, Kosarek, and Walak. And that workshop basically consisted of lectures, and it had some practical sessions and quite some group work where we were interested in what the speakers themselves were interested in. But as I said earlier, the main focus was really to offer workshops for local students at the University of Manokwari. And we, during the years 2012 and 2016, we basically offered two workshops a year, the first of which usually was more about theoretical issues of language implementation and linguistics, and then the second one was more concerned with the technical side of language documentation, where we provided training in all these tools, software, ELAN, making recordings, and so on. And then those students who participated in these workshops could then apply for a scholarship to conduct their own little language documentation projects, for which they would be asked to choose a language, basically, to read the relevant literature, go to do field work, and collect data. And then, once back from the field, they would process their data, they would provide for useful metadata, and make this all available for archiving. CLD would provide help, basically help in finding relevant literature and discussing linguistic topics on a regular basis, but also, as I said, give training in the certain tools, ELAN, if there were problems, helping out with that. And then, more importantly, or maybe not more importantly, but also quite important, we were able to give financial support. So we could cover the students' field trips. We could give stipends that could cover the students' living costs during the time they were working on their data. That could either be 3 months, or if they decided to write their thesis on a topic in the language they were documenting, that could be up to 6 months. Okay, so we funded four students' projects, quite nicely spread across the two provinces of Papua. The first one was by Boaz Wabia. He's a native speaker of Mpur, which is a language spoken a little west to Manokwari. Then the project of Nofar Efwalu, who worked on Wamesa. Nofar didn't really have a background in that language. She just chose that language. I think she had some friends there, but she's not a speaker or anything. And it's not too far from Manokwari as well. Then the project by Simon Tabuni, who worked on Western Lani. Simon's father is a native speaker of Western Lani, but Simon himself only has passive knowledge of that language, so that's why he chose that. And then we have Penny Togodli's project, she's a native speaker of Walak, and she worked on her language. Okay, so much maybe for the capacity building. And I now want to turn to the CELD Papua collection, which is part of the Dovis corpus in the language archive of the Max Planck Institute in Nijmegen, which yeah you can consider to be one outcome of the efforts taken at CLD. So what's in this corpus? Well, one collection that is in there is the documentation of YALI compiled by Chris Wallejangen and me, and that contains roughly 55 hours of recordings, most of it video, some of them are only audio. There are a few, 88 of these recordings have been transcribed, and 40 of these transcripts have been interlinearized and annotated. We compiled a lexical database, which roughly has like 3,800 lexical items, and I wrote a little sketch grammar. Well, so what I'm going to say, or what I try to say, is that that's basically what you can achieve in a language documentation project with one PhD student, or in this case, postdoc, which runs about like three to five years, with the help of one native speaker, maybe. I mean, it could be more, probably. It could always be more, but yeah, you get the point. But what I want to say is that in this archive, there's much more than just this one collection by these two people. And that's due to the fact that just many more people have been involved in this project than just Chris and me. So I already talked about the students' projects. They all made quite some recordings of different genres. They all transcribed a fair amount of their recordings. Some of them also worked with Toolbox and did some text work. Boas and Simon have made their data available already. So the Mpur collection and the Western Lani collection is in there as well. Norfa's data is not up yet because we have to create the proper metadata in the right format. So we haven't produced the SIMD files yet. And Penny is still pretty much in the progress of transcribing. So she, I don't know what she did, but she did like, she made 23 hours of recordings, and she's really very eager and digital, and she really wants to transcribe that all. And well, we see how it goes, but she's, yeah. So that's not finished yet, but we hope that we will be able to upload that soon. There's another project affiliated at CLD that is conducted by local researchers, and that's a documentation of IHA. That's a language spoken in and around the city of Phagphag. And this project was initiated by Sutriyani Nafafan, who is a graduate from UNIPA, University of Papua. And she graduated just about the time when Nikolaos and Yusuf founded the center. So she became a staff member, and she wanted to work on that language, IHA, but she was born and raised in Phagphag, but her parents are from Sulawesi, so she doesn't speak the language. And she looked for somebody who could help her, and she found Manu, Emmanuel Tuturok, who's a native speaker of IHA, and the two of them started working on that language. So Manu, I have to say, is a forestry, or at that time was a student of forestry. He didn't have any background in linguistics, but he was very happy to work with Sutri. And then at some point, 2014, Sutri had to go back to Phagphag due to personal reasons. But Manu basically, ever since, has continued working with CLD. He has now graduated, but instead of finding work in his field, in forestry, he basically decided that he wants to stay with CLD and keep working on his language. Right, and then we have these two legacy collections in the archive. One is the APO collection by Volker Heschen, and the other one is the YALI collection by Siegfried Zöllner. I'm just going to introduce that very quickly. So Volker has been professor of ethnolinguistics at the University of Munich. He started his research in the area in 1974 as a member of an interdisciplinary research expedition funded by the German Research Foundation. He published quite a lot of things. Among that, two very large text collections. And he also gave us more than 26 hours of reel-to-reel recordings for digitization. So just want to show you how the text collection looks. You have that's a creation story about the creation of the banana, and you have the A4 text up there, which is broken into morphemes, and you have morpheme to morpheme glosses, and then you have down there a translation, which is unfortunately in German, and you have some comments on that side. But of course, I mean, Volker didn't make up these stories. He got them told by native speakers, and for quite a few of these, he also recorded them. So what we did was we digitized all the recordings, or these reel-to-reel tapes. We cut them, we scanned the text collections and cut the text collections, and then we associated the audios with the text. So now if you go into the archive and just take any random note there, you have the text, you get the PDF, and I don't find my cursor, and so I can't play you the audio.
It's on the main screen.
It's not on the, oh, it's not here.
Yeah.
Almost.
Oh, just going to be like that.
Ibitaren. Tokoak kanina toko mulle amle. Wala la mulam kini. Yoko toko el mutoko si yomo toko. Kari si.
That's just a very short. So that was a recording made in 1979. I think the quality is really, really quite good. So I have to hurry up a little bit. Right, so the second legacy collection is by Siegfried Zöllner. He's a German missionary who worked with the Yali, and he has lived there between 1961 and 1975. He published his dissertation, which is a treatment of the religious beliefs of the Yali. He also had some manuscripts. He also compiled a dictionary. And again, he gave us quite a large amount of audio recordings for digitization, and quite a large pile of manuscripts that included machine and handwritten transcripts. So some of them, as I said, were machine written, some of them were handwritten, but it was all very well organized. So you had this metadata, basically, which tells you so which tape it is, the number of the tape, then it tells you on which side of the tape, because these reel-to-reel tapes, you can record on both sides. One is green and one is red. Then you have the counter, which tells you the position on the tape. It tells you a very brief description of what the recording is about. And then it tells you where you can find the transcript in these manuscripts. So again, we all digitized that and cut that and put it together. So now the Yali collection basically has two collections in it. It has the Summers collection that was compiled by Chris and me between 2012 and 2016, and it has the Zöllner collection, which has this legacy data. And again, we put that together, and if you go to the archive now and just choose one, this is a spell. you can play the audio, and you have the transcript, which unfortunately doesn't have a translation. And it doesn't have much metadata either, but this recording was made in 1975. Okay, so I'm going to come to an end and just want to come back to the point that I made at the very beginning of this talk when I talked about the challenge that we are facing and when I showed you what Chris and I have achieved during the time we were working on that language. So as you see, or have seen, CLD, so the Papua, CLD Papua corpus now comprises much more data. It comprises data of 7 languages, hopefully 9 soon, if we can upload Nofa's and Penny's work as well. It contains more than 100 hours of recordings, quite a few of which are transcribed and annotated. I want to say at the very end, the way I have presented it now might have given the impression that it's all about hours of recordings and the number of ELAN files you can create and the number of annotated text files you can create. And that is, of course, important. That's the core of a language documentation. But CLD, so there's much more about CLD than just that. So I think the important thing about CLD is that it arouses people's interest in languages, and it can rise people's awareness of language endangerment, and it can give those people who are interested in working on endangered languages, giving them the opportunity and the resources and the equipment to get engaged and make a contribution. So on behalf of everybody involved in CLD, I want to say thank you again to the Delaman board for awarding our corpus with this prize and for giving us the opportunity to present our work here at this conference. And last but not least, I also want to say special thanks to our students' assistants in Cologne, who did a really great job in helping with the digitization and creating the metadata and doing the upload into the archive, which is quite a lot of work, and they did that really well. Thank you. Which ones?
Yali.
So Yali, Kosarek, Apo are quite vital, yes. They are spoken by children. Yali is really quite a large language group with like 30,000 speakers. So yeah, they are still quite vital. It's different. So that also that's also true for Western Lani and Walak. Basically the whole languages in the mountain areas. But it's not true for the two coastal languages I showed, Mpur and Wamesa. So they are much more endangered. Kids don't learn it anymore there.
Can parents speak it?
Yes, they still do, but the kids don't. Yeah.
I was wondering if you could elaborate on when these 4 students that were doing their own documentation projects, and you said that you provided financial support, but also some mentorship and help with. So can you say more about that? Like how was that structured? And
So we had these workshops. They attended the workshops, and then I announced that we could give out these scholarships and that they could apply. So they had to write a proposal. But during that and before that, they could come. They came and talked to me, and we talked about it and how to structure the proposal and what they wanted to do. So it was a bit, And then basically they got the scholarship and they went to the field, and when they came back to CLD. We backed up all the data, and then we did the whole process, like converting the videos into the right formats, and so they did metadata in the field. We then, at CLD, put it in a spreadsheet, and then two of them, Boas and Simon, did the metadata also with the SIMD maker, like to really do the proper format. Yeah, basically they got help along the way. So when I was there, and when I was not there, from the other CLD staff members.
Yeah, I noticed on one of that the initial slides, it looked like funding has come to an end, possibly. I'm wondering what the future is of this CLD, and if we're going to continue this kind of documentation work.
Yes, well, right now, at this time, the funding has come to an end, and CLD at this moment doesn't have any funding. There is some money left, so they're going to survive the next month, and they have applied for different funding at different agencies, and we are pretty optimistic that we can keep, well, yeah, we are quite optimistic. We have talked to people, and it seems like we will get funding for the next 3 years, and we can keep working on it. I don't know who was next, sorry.
I would like to ask more about the training as well. So was it that in the first initial training you had more people, not just these
yes.
who were selected?
Yeah.
So do you know if any of those then continued? I mean, obviously they didn't have any funding, but they had some skills.
Yeah, no. Well, they were all linguistic students, so
okay.
they continued their
all
usual
linguistic
studies.
Okay, okay,
yes.
Okay.
And
I was also wondering, what language did you train in those trainings? In English or
Indonesian?
Indonesian. Okay, okay. Yeah. And I was also wondering, when you did the annotated corpus, like interlinearized, what language did you interlinearize?
Indonesian and English.
Indonesia.
So usually it depends. Some of them have quite a fair command of English. Some of them do the translation. Well, they all do the translation into Indonesian, and some of them do it in English as well. But basically, it's Indonesian.
Indonesia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Right. Yeah.
You mentioned at the beginning about your work with capacity building with activists, and I was interested in hearing a little bit more about what you did.
Yeah, that was just one workshop that we did, and that was quite interesting because we had these people from different groups, and we basically also wanted to hear what they are interested in and what they want to do, and so we had this group work, well, we had the lectures about language documentation and what you can do, but then we had these group works where people would sit together in their groups and discuss what they wanted to do and how they could be supported with that. And the Yali group, for example, so from the Yali area, we had four different dialects. And the dictionary that Cerna compiled is from the Angorok dialect, which is basically that's also where that's the dialect the Bible translation is written in. So that's the standard dialect, and all the other three dialects feel a little bit neglected. So what they wanted to do was to take Cerna's dictionary and make it a dialect dictionary, like add from the three other dialects, add data in there. And they started working on that, but I don't think, I don't know if they are still continuing with that at the moment.
Interesting presentation and really inspiring. And I was just curious with the legacy materials that you were given. Was there any discussion about protocols for access to that? And then also, what did you do with the original recordings? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, that's a difficult issue. So the APO data was basically recorded by Haitian with Young's speakers at the time, so they were like 15 to, I don't know, 18, 20 when he came there, and that's, and he basically worked with four people. And they are, so they are still working with him. Well, two of them passed away last year, but they have been working all the time, and they also visited Germany. So they had a good idea of what happened with their data, and they were quite happy with that. And they really liked the idea of having the text. So they knew about the book, and they had the book, but they now having the book and the recording, they really liked that. So yeah, they were very happy with that. With the Zöllner data, it's more difficult because he basically worked with old men at the time, and they basically all have passed away, yeah. So it is, at the moment, it's, well, you have to register to get the data, yeah. It's not totally free, but it's also not closed, yeah. Oh, and the original recordings, we gave them back to Zöllner and Heeschen, they are storing them, yeah. It's their recordings.
That's actually the end of our little time. So if you want to speak to the presenter afterwards, you can. But that's it. So if you could just thank.